Hello again, everybody. It's time to come and worship together. This is the fifth Sunday of Easter, and our call to worship today is a psalm. I've sent you the psalm so that you can join in with me and we can read it together. Our psalm today is number 31, and we have a selection of verses. For those of you who don't normally come along to the Scots Kirk Lausanne, I'm Gillian, I'm the minister here, and you're very welcome if you're joining us for the first time with our online worship. There will also be a Facebook live stream worship that you can watch on Facebook on Sunday at 10:30. So to our psalm, if you would please join in where it's indicated on your sheet, where it's in bold type, and that's for the even verses. In you, O Lord, I seek refuge. Do not let me ever be put to shame. In your righteousness, deliver me. Incline your ear to me, rescue me speedily. Be a rock of refuge for me, a strong fortress to save me. You are indeed my rock and my fortress. For your name's sake, lead me and guide me. Take me out of the net that is hidden for me, for you are my refuge. Into your hand I commit my spirit. You have redeemed me, O Lord, faithful God. My times are in your hand. Deliver me from the hand of my enemies and persecutors. Let your face shine upon your servant. Save me in your steadfast love. Our first hymn is a very old one, originally written in Latin in the 7th or 8th century, but translated for us, I'm happy to say, in the mid-19th century by John Mason Neale. The music, entitled Westminster Abbey, is by Henry Purcell. It's hymn 200 in our hymn books. Christ has made the sure foundation, Christ the head and cornerstone, chosen of the Lord and precious, binding all the church in one. Holy Zion's help forever, and her confidence alone. Come to our opening prayer. Let's pray. We pray, we ask, we act, we strive to believe in your name, Jesus. We come today a people, a community, without seeing firsthand you, the Creator, without seeing firsthand you, the Son, in the fellowship of the Holy Spirit, gathered together in faith, although apart, and we place our trust in you and in the way. When we struggle to trust you in the face of our current difficulties, Lord, forgive us. We pray that your life will be our guide, that we will have the courage to follow you, to know the way forward through your example, that our lives will be inspired and led by what we know of you. We ask for boldness, that your love will be our standard, that we will love in your name, in your way, without condition, without fear, that we will show love to all in the promise of a better world. So when we struggle to be courageous and lose hope, loving God, forgive us. We act in your name. We pray for the strength to carry out your work in adoration of you, in the love of your people, bringing your kingdom ever closer. And so when we struggle to believe your promises, forgive us, that we might live lives of faith in you, in your life, death and resurrection, in the love of God and the power of the Holy Spirit. Lord, this day we thank you for your forgiveness, won on the cross for each one of us, and help us now to begin again, that we might live our lives free of guilt and shame, living in faith, in hope, and in trust. And in the name of our Saviour, God's Son, Jesus the Christ, the way, the truth, and the life. Amen. Now a word to our young folks. It's nice that you're able to listen in, and I hope that you're able to watch our Facebook page. And just can I remind you that there will be a Sunday school, and you'll be able to get the link from Melanie. She'll be looking forward to seeing you, and it will be at 11:30, I think. Yes, 11:30 on Sunday. Today is La Fête de la Mère here in Lausanne. In different parts of the world this day, it's celebrated at different times. And so today, I've been remembering my mum. And I've been remembering that I am also a mum. I have three children, three daughters. They're all grown up now, and some of them have children of their own. So I have four grandchildren, and it's lovely being a granny. So today, I want you to say a big thank you to your mums for everything they do for you, but also to remember that your mum has a mum too. So think about how she might be missing her mum today. So the special homework I have for you this week is that I want you to find out about your family. Find out all about your family. Ask your mum what it was like for her when she was growing up. Ask your granny, if you can, how it was when she was a mum. Ask about those in your family who are now living in heaven. What were their names and where did they live? You could write a wee story about what it's like to live in your family today and draw a picture of them. And even draw a picture of those who are no longer living in your family but living in heaven with their names. So you could make a kind of a family tree. And then you could say or write a prayer and thank God for all those who look after you and care for you, especially today, your mums. Our hymn is number 579, Come My Way, My Truth, My Life. It was written by the poet George Herbert, who was born towards the end of the 16th century. Come my way, my truth, my life, such a way as gives us breath, such a truth as ends all strife, such a life as conquers death.
The reading is from John chapter 14, verses 1 to 14. Jesus comforts his disciples. Do not let your hearts be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. My Father's house has many rooms. If that were not so, would I have told you that I am going there to prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to be with me, that you also may be where I am. You know the way to the place where I am going. Jesus, the way to the Father. Thomas said to him, Lord, we don't know where you are going, so how can we know the way? Jesus answered, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you really know me, you will know my Father as well. From now on, you do know him and have seen him. Philip said, Lord, show us the Father, and that will be enough for us. Jesus answered, "Don't you know me, Philip, even after I have been among you such a long time? Anyone who has seen me has seen the Father. How can you say, 'Show us the Father'? Don't you believe that I am in the Father and that the Father is in me? The words I say to you, I do not speak on my own authority. Rather, it is the Father living in me who is doing his work. Believe me when I say that I am in the Father and the Father is in me, or at least believe on the evidence of the works themselves. Very truly I tell you, whoever believes in me will do the works I have been doing, and they will do even greater things than these, because I am going to the Father. And I will do whatever you ask in my name, so that the Father may be glorified in the Son. You may ask me for anything in my name, and I will do it."
And now let us pray. Lord God, as the rainbow contains many colours, so we are a rainbow of thoughts and dreams and hopes and fears. As the rainbow is complex and beautiful, so, Lord, are your ways. But the rainbow also offers a sign and a promise that you will be with us. So send your Holy Spirit to guide our thoughts and inform our discussions on your word, that we might honour you and each other. In Jesus' name, amen. I have a book at home. Well, arguably, I have far too many books at home. And when I say home, I mean here in the man's flat, but also in great numbers in boxes in my daughter's loft in Inverness. One of those many books is entitled Heaven, A History. On the cover, there's a lovely image of a woman being ushered along in the embrace of a kindly looking angel. The woman's hands are clasped in supplication or prayer, and she's looking into the eyes of her protector with trust. On its own, it's a lovely and reassuring thing to see, but of course it comes from a larger work, The Last Judgment, by the medieval artist Stefan Lochner. That larger work shows the crowd of others waiting to be ushered into the holiest of places. There's a bit of a crush, but the fringes of the work show angels cajoling and comforting and holding and kissing those who are waiting. Through an ornate door, guarded by a variety of bishop-like figures and cherubic musicians, the crush continues into another place through the very gates of heaven. Of course, the work seen in its entirety, I'm sorry to say, is much less reassuring, for the other side of the coin shows those who are not so fortunate being dragged off to the other place, while in the centre is Jesus, who's being appealed to for assistance to save those who may be lost. The book is, of course, a history, not of heaven itself, but of what we as future consumers, if you like, have imagined that it might be like over the centuries. In my years of serving various types of congregations, I've experienced of people asking me what it will be like in heaven. And I have to say to them that I don't know, because I've never been. No one has been there and come back to tell the tale. Well, no one except Jesus, of course. The resurrection of our Lord is what many of us cling to as the proof that, first of all, there is a place for us when we leave this earthly life, and that, secondly, it will be a good place. But essentially, it's a matter of belief, because we don't really know. Our reading from John's Gospel sees Jesus reassuring his disciples that there will be a place for them at his side if only they will have faith. I must confess to being a great fan of Thomas, so-called Doubting Thomas. I like him because he asks the kinds of questions that I would have liked to ask Jesus. I think, like many people, I'm a very practical person who likes to be able to see for myself. If I'm going off somewhere I haven't been before, I probably leave far too early. I check Google Maps several times. I have a look at the street view so that I know what the place looks like. And then I print off directions to take with me. And I take along a phone number just in case I get lost. As a result of that, I've spent many hours of my life waiting around for a variety of appointments because I've left far too much time for possible delays, which didn't happen. When Jesus tells the disciples that they know the way to the place where he's going, Thomas pipes up with, "No, we don't, Lord. How can we know?" Jesus tells Thomas that all he has to do is follow his way, believe in him and trust him, and all will be well. I wonder if Thomas was convinced, or if it took many hours of discussion and prayer and thought, perhaps even a lifetime, to reach that place of trust and faith that we all yearn for. This reading, of course, will be familiar to many people who've attended the Christian funeral of a friend or colleague or family member. Increasingly, though, funerals are being led by a variety of others. You may, as I have attended a Thanksgiving for someone's life led by friends and family or by a humanist celebrant. These are often lovely and personal celebrations of life, and most ministers like to make their funeral services as personal and as beautiful as they can too. However, for me, there is always something missing at these kind services. No amount of lovely words or beautiful pieces of music can make up for the words of reassurance offered to us by Jesus in this reading from John's Gospel. "In my Father's house there are many dwelling places. I will come again and take you to myself, so that where I am, there you may also be." On this day, when we're thinking about our mums or those who acted as a mother to us, I've been thinking about my lovely mother, who has now died. She had always said that she expected to have that reading from John's Gospel at her funeral, but that she was determined that she would have the version that described the places in heaven as mansions rather than rooms or dwelling places. And so she did have that reading at her service, as did my father and my brother. Heaven for them was a place of great generosity and beauty, where nothing was spared in order to make those who lived there comfortable and at peace. The word used in the Greek language for these abiding places was monai. For some Greek writers, that was taken to mean stages on the way. And my book on the history of heaven describes the many stages on the way in our understanding and belief surrounding death and the afterlife. The ancient Jews of Jesus' day, for instance, believed that heaven consisted of a vast mansion with many rooms. Each person would be assigned a room according to how they had lived their lives. In more modern times, that great writer and thinker C.S. Lewis, in his book The Great Divorce, describes heaven as a place where everything is so much more than we can ever imagine that for some the journey there is just too much, too glorious to handle. Some religious groups teach and believe that only a certain number of people will be admitted to heaven, and that we must work and strive throughout our lives to make sure that we are among that number. The late, much-loved theologian Willie Barclay, and I have to say, as often is the case, I'm with him. Willie plumps for the simple explanation of Jesus' words in our Gospel reading and suggests that maybe heaven is just a place where there is room for all. No one will be turned away because there is no room at the inn. Like most of you, I suspect, I don't begin to understand how God will sort out the good within us from the bad, how we will get to heaven or what it will look like or feel like. I don't begin to understand what it means for those faithful people of other religions who've lived good lives and have exhibited all the qualities that we as Christians most value. What I do know with all my heart and see every day, in the beauty of creation, in the warmth of friendships and the delights of love, even in this difficult time that we're passing through just now, and in the self-sacrifice of many of those people who are putting their own health and lives on the line to keep us safe and to care for us, what I do know is that God, that moving force that brought all of this into being, that God is good. I believe with every fibre of my being that God is not a jealous or a vengeful God, that God is love. So I have decided as Jesus said to his disciples all those many years ago, not to worry and not to be anxious, for a much greater force than we will ever become is in charge. No disaster is too terrible for him to overcome. No war, no terrorist, no evil force, no, not even a virus of global proportions is ever able to defeat our God and his love for us. All will be well, for God is love and God is supreme over all. Do not be afraid, little flock, for I have redeemed you. A prayer to conclude this morning. Let's pray together. God of life, I offer you my life. I place it at your feet, you who understand everything about me. For you are before me, God. You are behind. You are around me and within. I offer you my little degree of faith. Along with that, I bring you my doubts and my fears, my sorrows and my joys. For I know you will embrace them and nurse them and make them your own in time. Amen. On this second Sunday, we would have a short service of prayers for healing. And so today, at a time when our whole world is in need of physical, economic and spiritual healing, the theme of our prayers of the people today is just that, healing. So let's pray for the world and its people. Healing God, your loving hand encompasses all. The breath of your spirit falls gently around each one of us, so slight that we're not always aware of its warmth, but so strong that nothing can penetrate its protection, for there is nothing, Lord God, that can separate us from your love. Healing from the heart of the divine to each human heart and on out into the world to touch all hearts with warmth, forgiveness and joy. Today we pray for our world in all its turmoil, thinking especially of those places where the virus continues to proliferate, those countries where health care is not available to all.
Healing God, for all who are sick, hear our prayer.
We remember all who work in hospitals or health centres, all who care for the sick and the dying, and we pray for their safety at this time.
Healing God, for all in the caring professions, hear our prayer.
We pray today for those who are afraid for their livelihoods, for how they will pay their bills and support their families.
Healing God, for all who find themselves in financial difficulty, hear our prayer.
We remember those people who are hurting in mind and spirit, who are lonely or sad, who feel they have no one to turn to.
Healing God, for all who are suffering today, hear our prayer.
Lord, there are places in our world where war and fighting still continue despite this global health crisis, and so we pray for peace and the healing of divisions and prejudice.
Healing God, for all who wake each morning to the sounds of conflict, hear our prayer.
And Lord, for ourselves, for our communities of faith across the globe, for our families, and for those we love and miss.
Healing God, hear our prayer. In Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen.
Amen. And now, although we can't receive your offerings of money as we normally do week by week, we will continue to dedicate all that you give. That share of your worldly goods that you set aside for the church and, of course, yourselves. So let's dedicate all our gifts and rededicate ourselves to Christ's work in our world by saying together the Lord's Prayer in whatever form is most familiar to you. Let's pray together. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, for ever and ever. Amen. Our closing hymn this morning is number 511. Your hand, O God, has guided. It was written by Edward Hayes Plumptre in the mid-19th century. And I'll read to you the last verse, one of reassurance. Your mercy will not fail us, nor leave your work undone. With your right hand to help us, your victory shall be won. By mortals and by angels, your name shall be adored, and this shall be their anthem. One church, one faith, one Lord. To love and serve the Lord, and the blessing of Almighty God, Creator, Son, and Spirit be with you all. Amen.